So I got to meet two new friends. I got to meet Dakota and Sophia, and my group up here actually, we were overachievers, not to rub it in or anything. We got through about 10 questions together instead of just the three prompts. So one of them was actually, what is your favorite instrument? And so I learned that Dakota's favorite instrument is a violin, and Sophia's favorite instrument is an electric guitar. So I thought that was fun. That was pretty cool. Anybody know what my favorite instrument is? Ah, yeah, I figured we would all know that, absolutely.
Harmonica.
No. I should have came out with something like that, but then I'd have to try to play it, and that wouldn't work. That would go bad. No, so good. A couple of announcements of things coming up. You'll see a slide on the screen that says prayer walks. If you go onto the website, excuse me, you'll find some more information under the gathering and events, and you'll see the prayer walk slide. If you click on it, it'll actually have dates in July. There's six different dates and times where we'll be gathering for a prayer walk. So the first two are actually this week. The first one is Tuesday, July 1st, so this Tuesday we'll be meeting at noon at Harmon Field, and we'll be prayer walking through the neighborhood and around Harmon Field and through the neighborhood around there. And then the next day, Wednesday, July 2nd, we'll actually be meeting here at 7 p.m. So if you're available at noon on Tuesday or at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, Wednesday we'll meet here and we'll be walking from here through the high school property back around Robert Peters Park, and we'll be walking through that space and then coming back. If you've never been on a prayer walk before, I just want to invite you. We're going to talk through everything there. It's not high pressure. It's not anything specific. In essence, what we're doing is we're walking throughout our community. We're listening to the voice of the Lord. As we're listening to the voice of the Lord, we're praying back to Him what we're sensing, and we're praying over our community. We're declaring blessing over these different spaces and areas in our community. So that's what will be happening on the prayer box this week, and then the rest of the dates are also available online. And then we have a baptism and picnic coming up, and that'll be August 3rd. So that's going to be like right when you get back, right? And so if you are willing to help with grilling hamburgers for our picnic on the 3rd, we would need those picked up on the 2nd and are grilled. We need them grilled on the 2nd. And your like first thing that you wanted to do when you come back was to go around with roasters and pick up roasters. Is that the idea of what was happening here?
It's worth it for that day there. It's a fun time as a church family and a meaningful time as we see people stepping into the waters of baptism, sometimes for the first time, sometimes in remembrance of their original baptism. But yes, we need like one or two people that would be interested in grilling, about 100, 200 hamburgers that we will have as hot dogs as well. You don't need to purchase those supplies. You will be given those supplies by the church. We just need your manpower or womanpower to flip at the grill on the Saturday leading up to that.
And to not scorch them.
Don't scorch them.
Don't scorch them. Please. Right?
Otherwise, we'll have to baptize the burgers too, and I don't think that's kosher. So don't do that.
if someone's willing to do that, they're just going to email Luann
Email Luann or see me after the service. Just need one or two people to do that. So thank you. Also, we've been updating the different church websites and domains and things, and one of those features that the new church website gives us access to is online giving. Don't have to go this route. The traditional giving boxes will be there, or for direct deposit, you can continue to go those avenues. But those that would like an online giving platform that is now on our church website, like most online giving, there are some minimal fees that go along with that. And so just be aware of that. But this feature is open and live on the church website. This is kind of our homepage. If you click the give at the very top of our website, we'll send you to this page. Once you click that link right at the bottom of the page, it will send you to the page that you can designate the amount and then press send. And so just another way that we can give towards our church family to do the work in the ministry that God's called us to do in this kingdom together. So just be aware of that. Last but not least, we closed up some summer rhythms there, at least in the first half of summer. Our Wiggly Camps ended this past Wednesday, as well as our summer youth group. And so what they do in Wiggly Camps on Wednesday mornings is they start here in the sanctuary where they sing and they learn lessons about Jesus. At some point, we go outside, play different games, relay games, water games. There's crafting time included in that. The craft changes each and every week. There's some popsicle time or ice cream time, so snack time. time because we all love to eat. And then we learn about God's word and different ways that we can grow in our walk with God. G-R-O-W stood for something different each and every week of June. And so there's Nancy Hannon teaching one of her classes there. And we close in a time of prayer, teaching through the Lord's Prayer as our time of conclusion together. And so Wiggly Camps ended Wednesday. Also, youth group, the older kids, they do a field trip, the ladies, each and every week. And this week, they were at the flower shop as a part of their field trip. And so there's some of them going to forget-me-not flowers and back. The boys learned some different life skills, how to change a tire, how to do some different tools and work along those tools. We play games as well with the youth group kids. And then there's a learning time and lesson times where we break out into small groups. The guys were learning Mayan lessons and the ladies were in different books of the Bible that went alongside their different field trip items. And so just be aware of that. Summer, the first half, Wiggly Camp Youth Group ended. It doesn't mean the summer youth ministry has ended. Wet and Wacky Wednesday is coming up for those kids 8 through 12. We've also got our middle school pool party coming up in 2 weeks, or 3 weeks rather, the information in the bulletin, and the high school pool party is the week following that. And so still some more summer events to dive into as we continue our summers together. Let's just have a little word of prayer with our youth and ministry in mind before we lead into our sermon time together. Let's pray, church. Lord, we're just grateful for the summer it has been so far and what you continue to do. And we pray particularly, Lord, for the life and the ministry to young people. I was a youth that was impacted by a healthy church, Lord, and I thank you for just those small country churches that poured into kids, including this kid, that introduced him to Jesus and deepened him as a disciple of Jesus. And I pray that we're doing that too as this church as well. You've planted us across the streets, Lord. You've poured forth kids, nearly 100 that have come to Wiggly Camps, and near that amount for youth group as well. We just pray that seeds have been planted, that you will grow truly into an eternal harvest that only an eternal God can do. Lord, we pray for Wet and Wacky Wednesday to come, and those 8 to 12-year-olds of the church, Lord, that they would hear the message of Jesus and how to respond to the gospel, and that they would do so, and their life would be transformed. We pray even as we splash in pool parties and have fun with friends that godly friendships are being developed that will support us and add positive peer pressure to our lives. Lord, we just pray for the work and the ministry to the young people of this church. I thank you for taking part in a Sunday where I get to see through the opening worship songs kids that are drumming away on the pews, some that are clapping right next to grandparents as they're coming to church, Lord. They're learning how to worship God in a wiggly sort of way. And I just pray that that's taking root and going to bear fruit that lasts for all of eternity. We're praying that in Jesus' name together. And, yep, you knew it, kids. Amen. 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 Let's play a little review as we head into our sermon time together. And yes, there's a candy incentive with it. We are closing off today our summer sermon series, which we've been calling Summer Stories. We've been looking at children's books as a lead-in to the book known as the Bible itself, but children's books giving us a little lesson as a lead-in to that. And so, kids and adults, this is an adult question, okay? I hope you have some adult answers in this. Can you remember a book and maybe a lesson learned that we've covered so far in our sermon times together this summer? And only kids' hands shoot up right away, okay? Delton, first one, what was a book and what was a lesson learned from that, man? Can you remember a story that we covered this summer? What was one of the stories? Yes, the very hungry caterpillar. And what did the very hungry caterpillar teach us, Delton? Can you remember anything about that? He was just always hungry. And Dalton said to not eat that much or to make sure we're eating the right things in life, right? The food things, the mental things like video games, the other things like our souls. As Jesus says, man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. We're going to go to this side this time, and we're going to hope an adult returns volley with an answer. Very hungry caterpillar, it's off the list. I can't go through these because I give away answers, okay? Nancy, go. Oh, did you see something or anything? The not living self, you can find a kid after the service to give it to, I bet you there, Nancy. to not live self-absorbed, but to live giving. And that's a different priorities. Jesus, others, yourself. Very good. We'll return volley to this side. Livy, can you remember a book we covered? That little blue train, huh? The little train that could. Do you remember what we learned through the little engine that could? He made it up the big hill. I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. And what Christian remembers that we can because Christ can, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so we realize where our engine power comes from, and that leads into how we love our neighbor. The parable of the Good Samaritan. And there were three trains that arrived to that broken down train that day, just like the parable of the Good Samaritan and the people. Some that passed by on the other side, but the Good Samaritan that was willing to help that broken down train. So very good, very good. Returning volley to this side, an adult answer, Allison. The noise, too much noise. What do we learn through too much noise, Allison? Contentment. Peter thought, you know, my house makes too much noise. The wind swishes and the tea kettle hisses. And he goes to a wise judge that says, buy a cow, buy a chicken, buy all these things that make more noise. And then the real punchline was release them, right? Because Peter had in the still small, the solitude of his shack, the noise that he needed. And so it was a reminder to cultivate solitude in our life, to really hear from God in our life, and learning that life lesson from Elijah. I think there might have been one or two more. Anchor, you got one? The three little pigs, what did we learn from the three little pigs? Patience is key. Patience is key. The pigs were patient, and they also put forth different building materials, and specifically being built on the rock. Jesus says he who hears his words and does them is like a wise man who built on the rock. Maybe one more, or was that all of them? We'll go with all of them, huh? Very hungry caterpillar Delton had. Allison had too much noise. Three little pigs was just discussed right there. The little engine that could. We covered them. We're ready for this last one. And we've got one more BES, Bellevue Elementary School special guest reader for us. It's Tiffany Fries, who's a fifth grade science teacher. Been doing it for 12, 13 years now, and she's crossing over subjects today to read for us. She works in the science department. She's going to read the Lab of Love today, about a book about I'll Love You Forever. You might want to get the tissue boxes out, okay? That'll be the simple warning if you haven't heard it before. Kiddos, you know the drill by this point. You hear the music. Mrs. Fries is going to join us up front. We're going to read our last book of the summer. Sit on the stairs, please, Delton.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow. A reading rainbow.
A reading rainbow.
A reading rainbow.
A reading rainbow.
A reading rainbow.
I'm going to miss that theme song. Reading Rainbow, but we're ready for the book there, Miss Fries. What do you got for us today?
That brings back childhood memories. So today we're going to read Love You Forever. It's written by Robert Munsch. Have you guys read this book before? No, it's one of my favorites that I read to my kids. I even made up a little lullaby for it for them that I sing every night. And there is a repeated phrase in this book. Do you guys know what it is? Deza. As long as my... Yeah, as long as I'm living, my baby will be, yeah. So why do you think authors repeat messages a lot of times in books? Because this is repeated a lot. Go ahead. So you remember that one forever? There's probably an important message to that, right? So I want you guys to listen to that phrase every time we read it and think about, what is this author trying to teach me with this phrase? Okay? Yeah, what's up? You like babies so they can sleep? That's wonderful. Maybe you can read this book to them someday.
Keep them asleep out there.
All right, ready? It says, a mother held her new baby and very slowly rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she held him, she sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. The baby grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was 2 years old and he ran all around the house. He pulled all the books off the shelves. He pulled all the food out of the refrigerator and he took his mother's wash and he flushed it down the toilet. Sometimes his mother would say, this kid is driving me crazy. Have you guys ever done that? No, that's good. But at night, when that two-year-old was quiet, she opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor, looked up over the side of his bed, and if he was really asleep, she picked him up and rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. While she rocked him, she sang, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. The little boy grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was 9 years old, and he never wanted to come in for dinner. He never wanted to take a bath. And when Grandma visited, he always said bad words. Sometimes his mother wanted to sell him to the zoo. But at night, when he was asleep, the mother quietly opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor, and looked up over the side of the bed. If he was really asleep, she picked up that 9-year-old boy, and she rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. The boy grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was a teenager. He had strange friends and he wore strange clothes and he listened to strange music. Sometimes his mother felt like she was in a zoo. But at night when that teenager was asleep, the mother opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor, and looked up over the side of the bed. If he was really asleep, she picked up that great big boy and rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. While she rocked him, she sang, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. The teenager grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was a grown-up man. He left home and he got a house across town. But sometimes on dark nights, the mother got into her car and drove across town. If all the lights in her son's house were out, she opened his bedroom window, crawled across the floor, and looked up over the side of his bed. If that great big man was really asleep, she picked him up and rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. Well, that mother, she got older. She got older and older and older. One day, she called up her son and said, you'd better come see me because I'm very old and sick. So her son came to see her. When she came in the door, she tried to sing the song. She sang, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always. But she couldn't finish because she was too old and sick. The son went to his mother. He picked her up and rocked her back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And he sang this song, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my mommy you'll be. When he came home that night, he stood for a long time at the top of the stairs. Then he went into the room where his very new baby daughter was sleeping, and he picked her up in his arms and very slowly rocked her back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while he rocked her, he sang, "I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be."
Let's give Mrs. Freeze a round of applause. She did start by saying she's got a song that she sings to her kids based on that book. I want to hear that between services with Brad playing the harmonica, correct? Would that be good or what? That would be good. Boys and girls, I just got a couple questions for you today as we review the book that Mrs. Freeze just read. The first of those is, what do you think that story was about? What do you think that book was all about? Help me. The mom and the son loving of each other. It was a book about love. Very good, very good. Next question. What happened to the boy throughout the book? Something kept happening to him. Nico, he kept getting older and older and older. And what happened to the mother through the book? What happened to the mother throughout the book? Mother would rock him, and she kept getting older and older too, huh? The boy got older and older and older. The mother got older and older and older. But what never changed throughout the whole book there, Jeffrey?
The song
yeah. Which was about? I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby, you'll be there. They got older, but the love remained constant. Very good, boys and girls. Very good, boys and girls. Last question I have for you. Have you told your mommy or daddy or grandparents or who you came to church with, have you told them that you love them lately? That might be an opportunity to do so right now. Go ahead and find a seat back with them, and we will review this book more. Remember, boys and girls, you can get a piece of candy at the end of the service by filling out that message outline too. Not only listening, but living by what we're learning with church together. As kids are moving back to their seats there, and parents hopefully have wiped the tears away, let's talk a moment about this book, I'll Love You Forever, I'll Like You For Always. It was one of those books that I remember my mother reading to me when I was a youngster, and I was more fascinated with the pages of the boy with flushing a watch down the toilet and toothpaste spread out all over the floor and stuff like that. That's what I remember of the book when I was being a kid having it read to me. But a couple years back, started reading it to my own kids. Now, mind you, I'm not an overly emotional guy, and I don't say that braggingly. I'm probably a little inept and stuff and emotional IQ in that way, but I'm not an overly emotional guy. But I remember reading this to my kids and getting that big lump in the throat and your eyes starting to like sweat. That's like a manly way of saying, you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those that tugs at the heartstrings when you really understand what's being personified through thick and thin. The painful moments of watches being flushed down the toilet, the teenage moments where they're driving you crazy, the later moments when they're too busy to give you the time of the day. The mother never stopped loving through all those life transitions. And then it got to a point later on in the book, right? Where strength was fading and she was trying to muster out that song that she'd sang so many other times over to her loved one. I love you forever. I'll like you for always as long as I... But she couldn't get all the words out, right? Because health, the physical strength just wasn't there, but he finished it for her. Isn't that a beautiful moment when something that's planted takes root and starting to bear fruit? Like the son heard it, never responded to it in all those years. She was wondering if it was in one ear and out the other, but something happened later in life, a God-given grace moment where she realized it took root. She couldn't muster the words. He had it written all over him. Then he goes home that night, and he continues the ripple effect, right? What's he do over his newborn except say, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. Church, I want to remind you God loves you with that kind of love. If we really understood the love of God, I think it would probably put a lump in our throat and a sweat in our eyes. If we really understood just how much God loves us and how much he's been there for us. Yes, in those years that we were tearing things apart, right? Flushing things down the toilet. In those years that we were neglecting him, too busy for him. His love never wavered for us. And even in those final moments, when we're on hospital beds or hospice beds, God's love remains in those moments for us too. Church, you need to know God loves you. And this isn't a preacher man just standing up here, making up a story just so that you will feel good about yourself and then you can move on your way through the week. Maybe the most well-known verse of the Bible, John 3:16. For God so, God loves you, right? You're a part of the world. God so loved the world, and he shows it through his son and what his son has done for us. Paul was writing to a church community in Ephesus where he was just praying that they would understand the height, the depth, the width, the length of God's love. He says it this way, I pray that you being rooted and established in love. That was a VBS theme a couple years back. Rooted and established in love may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Every dimension, every direction may you know his love covers those spaces. To know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to all the measure of all the fullness of God. God loves you. And maybe part of our prayer is, God, help me understand that love more and more and more. In my own personal Bible reading, I'm trying to read through the Bible cover to cover. I'm doing it chronologically this year. I was in the book of Lamentations last week. That's a tearjerker book of the Bible if you've never read it. It's a really low point in Israel's history. Like their city, their temple, their everything has just been burnt to the ground literally. And they're asking a lot of faith questions. Like, God, why would you do this to us? The Babylonians, they're worse than we are. Like, what's going on in all this? They're asking a lot of questions. They're crying a lot of tears. It's a hard season in their life. And as Jeremiah's writing the book of Lamentations and praying out some of his grief and misery, what he keeps holding an anchor in is God's love. He says this in Lamentations 3, because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed, for his compassions never fail. That's weird to say, Jeremiah, because his city was consumed. And yet God's love is deeper than the charred ashes of a temple remains. This is what Jeremiah is saying, who's just lived through seeing that city burned. He says it yet again in Lamentations 3, just a couple verses later. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. That means he loves me forever. He likes me for always, as long as I'm living, right? Unfailing is on and on and on again. John would put it this way in the New Testament, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is... Like, love is in the very nature of God. Notice it doesn't say love is God. That would be different. God is love. In his nature, in his character, it is love. John Wesley would call this holy love. Because sometimes we can use the same term and use it in totally different ways. The culture uses love in a different way than God uses love. It's not Hollywood love, it's holy love. It's tied to his character, purity, holiness, righteousness. His love is right. It might be confusing because feelings come and go in this way. His love is deeper than a feeling. It's an act of the will and congruent with his nature. God's love. And this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son to the world that we might live through him. So his love is connected to a person who comes to represent what that love looks like in everyday life. The wrath side, the just side, the gracious side, all wrapped up in Jesus. We ever wonder what love looks like? We look to Jesus. He's the picture of God's love for his people. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. When you've experienced his love, you got to give his love. And that's why loving God and loving people is to be the overflow of God's people's life. I want to read a passage today. and want all of us to turn to it because it's a repetition. It's Psalm 136, and so if you could open your pew Bibles and read it together, there's a repetition to this that we want to read it responsively. What was that, Nico? 892, Nico said we can find Psalm 136. Thank you, Nico. 892, and please do turn in your pew Bible or look over the shoulder of a friend because there's a response to the 892, Psalm 136. You'll notice at each verse, there's this print in italics that says, "His love endures forever." I'm going to give you guys the easy section, okay? His love endures forever. Can you say that with me? His love endures forever. The psalmist is going to be writing different things that God has done or is doing amongst his people, and he echoes that refrain each and every time, "His love endures forever." You want to know that what that would be written like in children's book form? "He loves me for always." I hack that up. "I love you forever. I'll like you for always. For as long as I'm living, my baby you'll be." That's what's wrapped up in "His love endures forever." God's writing this story to his people, his children. Through gamuts of life, his love endures forever. So let's just read this responsively. We're going to turn back to it, time permitting, and cover a couple different things as a part of this. But let's just read it responsively together, being reminded that God's love endures forever. Church, this is God's word to us. Psalm 136. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone does great wonders. By his understanding made the heavens. Who spread out the earth upon the waters. Who made the great lights. The sun to govern the day. The moon and stars to govern the night. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder and brought Israel through the midst of it, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the wilderness. To him who struck down great kings and killed mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as inheritance, an inheritance to his servant Israel. He remembered us in our low estate and freed us from our enemies. He gives food to every creature. Give thanks to the God of heaven." As Tiffany said when she was reading before the children's book, when something's repeated, it's really important, right? It's to be emphasized. Authors use repetition not only as a learning device, but to emphasize something that, hey, listen in, this is important. Why do you think over and over and over again at each refrain, in God's word, God's got that message, his love endures forever? Are we prone to forget that God loves us? His love endures forever. Are we prone to think in our finiteness that forever is difficult to count? His love endures forever. Do we think endurance has to go through some tough stuff and some perspiration at times? His love endures forever. Like, this is important stuff to wrap our mind around how God is revealing himself to his creatures. Can I point out a couple things in these verses? As we're thinking about God's enduring love together, I think it's important to understand what his love is and what his love is not, though. Like I said, we use that word and toss out love a lot. You can have God's love, but you can also love hot dogs, and the two aren't the same, right? We toss out that term, but what does the term mean according to a God who is love? It might look different than a Hollywood version of love. So what does it mean, God's love? Like I said before, John Wesley used to refer to God's love as holy love. To help him in his day and age to wrap his mind around what God's love really looks like, that might be different than the watered-down version John Wesley was even encountering in the 18th century England. It's different. It's holy in nature, the holy loving God. And I think that's how the psalmist expresses it at the start. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Like, his love is connected to his character, and his character is good. Church, God is good. And all the time, his love is good. And it's connected to who he is in his authority and in his power and in his might. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. Like, he's in authority. There's no equal to him. He is God. He is Lord, capital G, capital L. God of gods and Lord of lords. His authority is supreme. And so there's no one usurping his love. No one loves greater than a God loves. This is important for those of you that think, if, man, I just had a spouse, my love tank would be filled, huh? Or if I just had a spouse that loved me back, then that would fulfill the conduit of love. Or if I just had a friend, a bestie, BFF, that would fill my... There is no one that can love greater than God can love. You hearing that, church? He ranks among unequals in his love, and so what we most need is God's love. That can fill some tanks that no human could ever navigate in. God of gods, Lord of lords. Who does great wonders, made the heavens, set the earth on the waters, made the great lights to govern the day, sun for the day, the moon and stars to govern the night. At this point in our outdoor worship service, I was going to have you look up. That ain't working right now, huh? But the sun and its brilliance, God thought of that. When you go outside at night and see the crystal clear skies there, some stars sparkling, God did that. When you look up at a tree and see that glossy, chlorophyll-y greenness of it, God thought of that. Like God's wonders all around us, from the tiny ant to the huge mountain vistas, God did that. God is greater than that. It's an expression of his love to us. Creator giving us creation as a part of his care. It's beautiful. Those are things that are easy to get into God's love, right? When we think of his power, when we think of his goodness, when we think of his creative splendor, easy to see a God that loves us then. What do you do with verse 10 through verse 22, though? Because that seems like some odd expressions of love. He struck down the firstborn of Egypt. He brought Israel from out among them. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, he divided the Red Sea asunder. He brought Israel through the midst of it, but Pharaoh and his army he swept into the Red Sea, to him and his people through the wilderness, struck down great kings, killed mighty kings, Sihon of the Amorites, Og of Bashan, and he gave their land as an inheritance to his servant Israel. That seems like odd characterizations of God's love. Need to understand the Old Testament storyline, and specifically the book of Exodus, as this author is recounting so much of what went down there. And it is an expression of God's love, even though God's love is meted out with justice, judgment, and salvation altogether. Seems loving for Israel, not so loving for Pharaoh's son, right? Or Og, or Sihon. And I will just remind you, all of these had an opportunity to respond to God's love. And they turned their back on it. Remember how the book of Exodus begins? It was Pharaoh's order to kill all the Israelite babies. And what God did is he turned the evil back upon Pharaoh himself. It wasn't the Israelites' babies that died. It was Pharaoh, the evil edict, that did it. And God cares for babies. We have to get more into the storyline and seeing what's going on in all of this. But it's evil that's turned up upon itself. Like, it's digging a trap and falling in the own trap that you dug. This is the salvation story that's unfolded. Og and Sihon, opportunities to not fight against God, but to surrender to them, and they chose the fight. They chose to do it their way rather than the God of love's way. And so this ties into that storyline too. God really does give us enough freedom to receive God's love or to spit in the face of the one who loves us. And the cross plays that out, right? There were some in the crowd that day that were bending the knee to the crowd in devotion, and there were others heaping insults. God's love is not a forced love. God's love is not a forced love, but when we cut ourselves off from that love, we're not experiencing that which can flow and make goodness and make wonder in our life. There is no good thing apart from a good God. You catching that? And so this is the replications of Pharaoh and Og and Sihon and so many others. The story goes on in verse 23. He remembered us in our low estate. God doesn't forget the little ones. Like little in their own mind or humbled, or God doesn't overlook anything. He knows us at our low points. He doesn't forget the low moments of life. He freed us from our enemies. God's a chain breaker. We sang about that in one of our opening songs. He frees us from some things to follow into his foreverness. God does that. He gives food to every creature. There's a provision connected to this good, loving God. Give thanks to the God of heaven. That's how the psalm started. That's how it ends. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of heaven. Gratitude is a right expression when we understand the love that God has for us. So what do we learn from today's text there? I'm just dropping it and running today for time's sake, but it's his repeat phrase. His love. God's got love. It belongs to him, and he can give it to who he wants to, and he chooses you. Did you hear that, church? For God so loved the world. You're part of the world? Like God has love for you. You can receive it or reject it, but God's giving it to you. He's put that offer on the table. It is his gift to you. It's his love, and he's wooing and wanting to win you when we realize who his love is. And he does this to such a mixed variety of folk. Like, read the Old Testament storyline. He was loving his people in the judges' time period when they were just trying to do what was right in their own eyes. They didn't understand God's ways compared to their ways. He loved them through the wilderness. When they're complaining and grumbling, God still loved them. He disciplined them. That's an offshoot of love, but he's still loving them even through those grumbling and complaining years. He's loving them through the golden years when the temple was built and overlaid in gold and sacrifices were being made. He was loving when the watches are being flushed down the toilet and when the teenager is driving mother crazy. You catching that? All of that's found in the biblical storyline. There are some days when God's people get it. There are a lot of days when they don't. Just like the son in that story, right, was getting it, and many days he wasn't. God loves you in all of those days. His love endures forever. And that's point number two. It endures. His love endures. You can't say the word endurance without thinking having to go through some sweat at times, right? Perseverance. Endurance is going through the tough stuff and still going through it and pushing through, right? His love pushes through. His love perspires. His love goes through the sunny skies and the rainy skies. His love even goes through the nail marks, church. God's love endures. He's not just in it for the Hollywood feel-good moment. His love is at rock bottom. He'll meet you even there. That's what endurance means when we say his love endures. And lastly, it's a forever love. Forever is hard for the finite to comprehend. We've got a beginning date. We've got an ending date. Forever is hard for us to comprehend. But God's love is a forever kind of a love. He's eternal, and so his workings are eternal. He's infinite, so his workings overflow in infinite variety. And his love is able to carry us from that finite end moment into the forever moment. His love can transform your life not only on this side of eternity, but into all of eternity. That's what we mean when we say his love endures forever. Church, I don't know where you're at in your journey with love. I don't know if you're a toddler still flushing things down the toilet. I don't know if you're the teenager driving people crazy, including God, but still loving through it. I don't know if you're too busy for him, like the son in middle age there, not the time of day. I don't know if you're responding to the tenderness of it later on in life. I don't know where you're at in your journey. I know that God loves you wherever you're at in this journey. And the sooner that we wake up to his love, the sooner that we wake up to a lump in the throat and eyes leaking in all the right ways. To feel your soul touched. Feel your soul touched in a way that's good, healing, and whole-making. That's what God's love will do to you. Say, preacher man, I can turn my back on his love. And you can. You really can. God's love is not coerced love, forced love. That's rape, not love. God loves you. So he doesn't force that upon you. But we hurt ourselves. Hear this, church? We can stick in toddler flushing the things down. We can stick in teenager or walking the other way. We can stick to those ways. But what we're doing is really hurting ourselves. The time wasted. The mistakes made. The better way. Receive the love and live into that love. That's what we're invited into by a God who always loves. His love endures forever, church. Amen? Lord, we're grateful for your faithfulness, your forever enduring love that's faithful even when we're unfaithful. You've shown that through your people and the biblical storyline, Lord. There's been times they've turned their back on you, but you've never turned your back on them. Yes, discipline, but even that discipline, grace, an opportunity and forgiveness extended if they would just take the gift that was on the table. Lord, I pray for us in our journey with you too. May we see the love of God for what it is. And may it put a lump in our throat and a leak to our eyes and a jump to our soul and a skip to our step, Lord. Help us to love you and respond to that love and to love others. Lord, we're just praying that your love would have a transformative effect. We don't want the wasted years of running from your love. We want the fullness that can only come for a forever loving God. So we pray that towards this end in Jesus' name. Amen. And as always, we want to leave this place going and following Jesus. And so depart in that way and you're dismissed.